Welcome to the January episode of Clod of War. It's 2019 and Happy New Year! Yay! Etc, etc. I'm Christy.
And I'm Dan.
We are currently trying to ignore society breaking down completely in the UK because today's been the Brexit deal vote. I'm not going to say too much about it except fuck! But we thought what we would do to keep me cheered up is have a look back at some of the games that we liked the most from last year and the ridiculous list of things that we're looking forward to in 2019, if we can still afford it.
Yeah. Thanks, Brexit.
Why don't you start, Dan?
Okay, so... highlights for last year. Last year was the year that I joined the PlayStation VR revolution after mm-hmm. trying out a friend's, and I'd been steadfastly avoiding it and then tried out a friend's and
was instantly not just avoiding hooked. It you were quite vocally not into it.
Well, it was more, it's very much something you need to try.
Yeah,
it is. And yeah, totally bitten by it and love it to pieces. So I've played lots of little games on it, including some of my extra ones, but stuff like Astrobot is fantastic. Tetris Effect
is great. I still haven't played that yet. I keep on meaning to.
Moss is lovely. Mm-hmm. It's the little world surrounding me I love most in VR. So I'm kind of looking down on them like a thing that god.
when PSVR first came out, I remember people being quite sceptical of anything that wasn't first person in some way or shape or form. But actually, I've been quite pleased with how immersive other forms of gaming can be in VR as well. So the third person strategy games are really great. Platforming, third-person platforming is brilliant.
Yeah.
I think it's all there, I think, in terms of, you know, it's all doable in terms of VR.
Yeah. And Wipeout, obviously, is really, really fantastic in VR.
Yeah. I spent, I don't know, a year and a half just every so often atting Sony on Twitter going, make it happen.
So it's your doing that.
Yeah, it's all down to me.
Kind of linked into the VR, Tetris Effect, I've poured lots of time into. With VR or without VR, it's a fantastic and lovely game. Just to chill or to play one of the more frantic modes.
It allows
you to play how you're feeling, really. And it's a lovely extension of what's classic gameplay.
Yes.
Dark Souls Remastered, we've been having a little cooperative play through that. And we are... nearly
it's taken us
at the end.
Ages.
It's the last bit that's taken us a while.
We're still on it. This must be what, month 10?
Possibly.
I think it came out in March, didn't it?
Yeah, but we didn't start it until we finished Bloodborne.
Yes, we did.
No, we finished Bloodborne on time, didn't we? Shit. Okay.
It's taken us so fucking long.
Yeah. Okay, but we're almost there. It's like three bosses.
Yeah, we're almost there.
Three bosses, and we've done all the DLC as well. So,
yeah.
And aside from all the little titles that I've played, just like little puzzly type ones, the big one for me this year has been Battlefield 5, which hasn't got stellar reviews, has got a lot of flack for various reasons, but cool gameplay. It's Battlefield, and it's the best playing Battlefield in years. And I'm really enjoying it. And I'm also enjoying the fact that they keep just adding. It might seem like small bits and getting it up to the standard of maybe what previous ones launched with, but I quite like the drip feed a little bit.
Yeah.
Just to be given something new every now and then to add, and you're not overwhelmed from the beginning. And stuff to look forward to all the time. I just checked my stats. I've put in 64 hours so far. Which, for me, to find 64 hours for a game is quite rare these days.
Yeah, so, especially seeing as it hasn't been out that long.
No.
You know, I think it's... Yeah, that's pretty good going. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I've got Battlefield 5 in my list as well, though I haven't put anywhere close to that amount of time in, but I do think it's the best Battlefield for a very long time, and I think that we're positive word of mouth will spread, and over the next year or so, I think the game's going to grow and get stronger, and I think this, is it Lightning Squads or whatever it's called, that's coming?
Lightning Strikes.
Lightning Strikes.
That's co-op stuff next month in February.
Yeah, so I think that's all going to make a difference, and yeah, I like the drip feed, mainly because it gives me a reason to come back in, but also, I don't feel obliged to absolutely cane the game, which is what I always do, and I get sick of it, and I drop it, because I've absolutely caned it. This one, I'm actually feeling like I'm just kind of able to sail along at a nice level, and when something new happens, my usage of the game will go up for a while, and it allows me to enjoy other games in between, and I quite like that kind of thing. And I know that's us kind of arguing for games as a service, I suppose, but I quite like that.
Yeah,
I do. Which actually takes me to another thing on my list, which is Destiny 2's Forsaken expansion, especially given the news last week that Destiny, and by the huge news that Bungie and Activision are splitting, or have actually split now, haven't they?
I think so, effectively. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's lots of talk, we'll talk about it later, but lots of talk about how they take that forward. But Forsaken is fantastic. It's really good. What I didn't realise at the time was that one of the things that put me off getting Forsaken was you didn't get the previous two expansions with it. So you were just buying this, you know, the Forsaken expansion and everything. And then, from what I understand, they just decided to lump them both in with the Forsaken expansion. And that's when I dropped my cash on it. And it's just insane value. I've spent the last 2 weeks doing what I just said I do, absolutely caning it. I mean, totally caning. I've maxed out my a new character, a Titan. I was on a Warlock before. And I'd barely gotten over, I don't know, power level, light level 240 or something like that. I'm now considerably above 500 in the space of a week.
How much are you playing with other people, with friends, or just solo?
I've started doing strikes. Started doing strikes the other night, and that was good fun. Most of it, the vast majority of it, has been the story.
Okay.
And the Forsaken story is fantastic. It's the best, I think, single part of the single player game, or the story part of the game, that they've done in both Destiny 1 and Destiny 2, in my opinion. It's best written, it's best designed as well, and visually it's a treat. And I just think they've really nailed it with Forsaken, and I haven't yet done the Gambit mode, which is supposed to be fantastic as well, which is their really interesting take on multiplayer, where you're essentially two teams racing to play against the environment, but every so often one of you jumps across to the opposition to kind of invade them, a bit like Dark Souls.
Okay.
And that's supposed to be absolutely brilliant, and I haven't touched that yet. So there's a huge amount of stuff in there. It's massive. So it's going to be interesting to see how they take that forward, especially now that they're not restricted by Activision's money-grabbing mitts.
Yes.
So that's good. And another one that we both have on our list is Dark Souls Remastered. Now, I reckon I've got, since March, I've probably got about 450 hours on it.
Yeah, you've got several versions and several characters on each version, haven't you?
Yeah. So I started with you and Stu, and we're still playing that, minus Stu, because Stu is now burnt out. But I started a single player, because I'm interested. I always do this with Dark Souls. I start playing with builds. About halfway through playing through a game of it, I'll think, oh, wouldn't it be interesting to do this instead and get a magic build or something? And I decided I don't often play the physical you know, shield and sword guy. So I decided to do that. But by the time I got to the bit we're at now, there was something about that build that wasn't working, and I couldn't beat Calamite, which is the dragon we're about to try and take on.
Okay.
I just couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. I read up on it, and everyone was saying you really need to focus your build in, you know, so that everything is going towards this one stat almost. So I started again with magic character, focused it until it was just a beast of a magic character, and absolutely destroyed Calamite. But that's like, I don't know, 10 hours from the end. So I played through about, I don't know, 90 hours because I co-op a lot, gave up, played through again, did another probably 90 to 100, I don't know. And I've been playing it on the Switch as well. I'm at the same point on my Switch version now, too. And I admittedly, I did burn out a bit and stop playing it, but I just picked it up last week. And I'm at the kind of whole Calamite area again. So I've probably got about another, I don't know, 95 hours on that as well. And it's a phenomenal game. I mean, it's, you know, it was phenomenal when it first came out. I think the remaster is brilliant, and the Switch version is incredible. I've got tiny Dark Souls in my hands. It's just amazing. So, yeah, Dark Souls has been basically my 2018 has been devoted to that game. Aside from these other couple of games, Dead Cells has been brilliant. I've really enjoyed playing Dead Cells on the Switch. I won't go into too much detail about that, but it's a fabulous kind of roguelike. I don't want to offend anyone when I say the wrong one. 2D kind of action adventure RPG type thing. It's fabulous, really colourful. The combat's brilliant. It has kind of little nods to games like Dark Souls as well, and that's great. And the other thing that's really surprised me is Warframe on the Switch, which is a work of magic. It's just insane. And because it's on the Switch and I've been sitting on the sofa instead of hogging the TV, I've finally managed to kind of play it enough to understand it, because it doesn't really hold your hand at all. And it needs a good amount of time to do that. And you'll know yourself with family and demands and, you know, not wanting to hog the TV. You don't get to kind of understand games like that very often. But with it being on the Switch... Yeah. I've got well over 100 hours on that. So, it's 2000. That's basically been my 2018. There have been other things in between. Games like Ashen is a kind of also ran as well. It's a really nice game as well. But those are my highlights, I would say. Right. So, do you want to look forward to 2019 or deal with Activision Bungie?
Let's deal with Activision Bungie, as we've already mentioned it once.
Yeah, so, okay.
It's a bit of an unexpected one, really.
There was a rumbling in the universe when that happened, I think. There was the universe whooped and hollered when the news came across. I don't
see how or why Activision would have sought this. They had Bungie, one of the most well-respected developers, who Microsoft let slip through their fingers, and they had them on a nice big long deal to produce lots of games. Yeah. And whilst there were some bits and pieces with Destiny that didn't quite work, they seem to have sorted a lot of it out with more recent releases of Destiny 2. So I can't see why, given Activision's other stuff, what else they've got in terms of big titles, why they would want to let them slip away.
My favorite theory is, I've seen this punted around a couple of places, is that Activision did something that broke the contract with Bungie.
Yeah.
That was all they needed to extract themselves from that relationship. I mean, who knows? I don't know if we'll ever know the truth, but it's got to be something like that, because, I mean, for all that they complained that Destiny, that it wasn't doing the numbers for them, it was doing massive numbers. It was, I mean, launch day for Destiny 2 was something like $300 and something million.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah, it's interesting. I can't wait to see what they do. I can't wait to see if they rip out Eververse, because that thing should not be in there. Eververse is the thing that just really feels money grabbing to me. It's the thing that just really spoils it and takes you out of the world to me. Whether they rip it out or change its nature, I don't know. But hopefully they do something to make it less egregious.
Yeah. But the Bungie are obviously happy to escape.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it is going to be good to see what they do, because they've escaped with Destiny, the name as well, and the IP, which again is a little bit surprising, but maybe something they had covered in the original contract.
Mm. Yeah. So we'll see. The other thing that a lot of people are mooting is, are we actually going to see a Destiny 3, or are they just going to get rid of numbers altogether and totally make this a games as a service thing? And actually, I could kind of buy into that. I could quite happily buy into more of Forsaken on a yearly basis. You know, and, you know, it's complete pie in the sky, but maybe they build Destiny 1 back into it. How cool would that be?
Yeah.
So, you know, they've got a lot of content there to play with to make it excellent value. And honestly, I mean, after let's call it 120 hours of Warframe, I went back to having really enjoyed it and thinking it's a brilliant game. I went back into Destiny, and there is nothing to match the actual gunplay of a Bungie game.
Yeah, they do great gunplay.
And it just all feels right, you know. And it was quite a surprise to me how different it felt to most other games and how smooth it was. Nothing felt unfair. You always felt in control of everything. And yeah, I could really go with a kind of games as a service deal for that. I think it could be a lot of fun. So yeah, that was big news. But I guess we now have to look forward to the big titles that are coming up.
Yeah.
And some of them are coming up pretty fast, actually.
It's quite a packed early 2019.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's segue nicely into Anthem, as we've just been discussing Destiny. And that's the game it tends to be compared to most.
Yeah. I think, I mean, again, going back to Warframe, people compare Destiny and Warframe, and I can get what they're saying, but I do think that there's room in there. This is a genre where there's actually quite a vast amount of difference in the way they feel to play. So I don't think they're going to kind of squeeze out each game, if you know what I mean. I think that, you know, there's room for Anthem in there. But yeah, I've been watching a fair bit of coverage of it. They seem to have been going big on the whole, in quotes, influencer YouTubers over the last kind of month or so, kind of drip feeding some gameplay. Yeah. And it does look really slick. I'm really looking forward to it.
I was initially put off Anthem purely because I didn't feel I had the time to devote to something Destiny-like again. I kind of got left behind in Destiny because I didn't have the time to keep up with everybody else I wanted to play with. So I was put off a little bit by that, and I thought the initial reveal, whilst looking lovely, the EA canned voiceover thing grated with me just a little bit.
That turns out that's part of the game, as far as I can see.
Oh,
yeah.
Blimey. Okay. But presumably it doesn't happen if you're just playing with friends. I don't know.
But, I mean, the other characters seem to have voiced roles. So, which I thought were just developers. When I first saw it, I thought it was just developers play the game.
Yeah.
But then I've seen the kind of more coverage of it over the last month or so, and we've still got the same characters seeing these same story-based roles, and it sounds like these weren't developers, these were actors. So,
lovely. yeah. So that's coming February. So that's not too far away at all.
No. No, so looking forward to that. Division 2, this is another big shared world shooter, which, I'm sorry, Ralph, but I got to a certain point in it, and having gone through the whole Destiny thing, I couldn't bring myself to grind again. I got to this kind of level cap, and all of a sudden I was starting to get kind of Destiny flashbacks in terms of how much time I was going to have to put in to get the better weapons and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And so I'd spent a lot of time with our mate SRR, otherwise known as Ralph, and then all of a sudden I just couldn't hack it anymore, so I stopped. And I'm not sure if I can handle another division. I don't know. We'll see. And I think it was the what was that bit in the middle called the Black Dark or something? The Dark.
Oh yeah, the sort of PvP.
Yeah, I can't remember what it was called now, but it was such a bad idea. Dark Zone, yeah. It was just like they had this kind of lovely idea that people would play it the way that they thought they would play it.
Yeah.
And of course, what people did was just gank.
Yeah. my 8-year-old daughter has been playing Roblox, and she discovered a little game where you... a superhero simulator type thing, and then describes a situation where she kept ganking somebody. And I kept killing him again and again, and then he thought I wasn't there, but I was just hiding around the corner, and I jumped out and I killed him again.
Oh no.
That's griefing.
how could Ubisoft not know? How could they think that this wasn't going to turn out that way? So I'm hoping they do something different, have a different thing that they use instead of the Dark Zone, because that was really what put me off in the end. It's just horrendous. I'll keep an eye on it, and it is going to be a massive release, but I'm not sure if I could do it again. So we'll see. You know, one I definitely will be doing. Having been a little bit iffy about it when it was first announced, I will be grabbing Sekiro on launch day.
Yeah.
The more I've seen about it, the more interesting it looks. I don't know, have you seen... So I stumbled across the Game Informer YouTube channel just last week, and they've been doing a special on Sekiro over the last few days. Just kind of different aspects of it and areas that you might not have seen before, and actually it's looking really, really slick. Things I hadn't realized, like the reincarnation mechanic, that's a consumable that you get from killing other enemies.
Okay. So other people enemy? Oh, actually no, there is no online.
I don't think, well, they haven't mentioned anything about that. It wouldn't surprise me if there isn't something.
Yeah, but you can actually pause it, which is, oh my goodness. Really? Yeah.
You can pause a From game.
I know.
My God.
The world's caving in.
Yeah, exactly. Also, I mean, the traversal is a hell of a departure as well.
Yes.
So that's going to be interesting. I think I've mentioned this before, but I always find it interesting that Miyazaki was the guy that was responsible for moving kind of from Chrome Hounds to Armored Core. So Chrome Hounds was this kind of slow, brilliant, but ponderous mech kind of strategy style game. And then kind of moved that to the really fast-paced Armored Core games, which were more about kind of action and less about strategy. And I find it interesting that he did the same thing with Dark Souls and Bloodborne. And he seems to be kind of kicking it up a notch again with Sekiro in terms of how fast people move. So, I'm really looking forward to that. When's that out? Is that March or something?
Yes, that's first 3 months. So I think it's March. 22nd of March.
Right, okay. It's not far away from my birthday.
Hooray.
Yay. You do the next one, because I'll probably... Well, my daughter might make me get this one. I don't know.
I'll put it down as one of the bigger Nintendo ones that we know about, which is Animal Crossing, which I've never played any of them, but It's a big title, and I'm sure my daughter will love it to pieces.
Yeah. I will admit, I did play it on the 3DS and enjoyed it. And actually, I played it with our mate Ains.
Okay.
And it's just these two burly guys playing Animal Crossing online. It's just this idea that was what was happening really amused me. So there is a part of me that thinks, like, you know what, I might get that just to have that picture in my head again.
Lovely. Dreams is the next one on the list.
Yeah, you know more about this than me.
Yeah, so I may or may not be on the beta. I'm not allowed to say.
Aren't you?
No. Well, there's a...
How do you know you're not allowed to say?
There's an NDA.
How do you know that?
People know there's an NDA when people got in. So. But I am very much looking forward to the full release, which...
As a result of what, Dan?
Stuff I've seen on the internet and things.
Okay. What are the and things?
I wouldn't know.
Is it the same wouldn't know as wouldn't know about an NDA?
Yes.
Okay.
But yeah, it's probably not, I don't know what people think it is. And I think it's going to take a little while to bed in and for people to start creating very good stuff. Mm. But I think...
I'm a bit concerned about it. I'm personally looking forward to it, but I think that it feels more to me like there's a game that's about to come out on Switch called RPG Maker. It isn't really a game. It feels more like RPG Maker rather than a complete game in its own right, which is how Little Big Planet felt. So I still think that's a brilliant idea, but I just don't know.
I'm not sure whether the sort of single player element that ships with it doesn't look as instantly engaging and as likable as the Little Big Planet stuff. So,
yeah, I mean, Sackboy was just, you know, was a mascot, and I don't think this has a mascot.
And the look and feel of Little Big Planet was very classy, very clever, very crafty, etc., and just had a lovely aesthetic to it. This takes a lot of the Little Big Planet concepts and takes it further and makes it a lot more possible. I think what the content that people create with it will hang on how well people collaborate, because it is, whilst you've got lots of lovely tools there, it's still going to be tough to build something good without spending some decent time on it. And I think people are going to gravitate towards either sculpting or building objects or the music or the logic side of things. And then it's going to be a case of the various different disciplines being brought together in small groups.
I think the thing that worries me is that the thing that Little Big Planet did was get enough people playing to have a critical mass of people out of that larger group who were playing the game who would then go on to make stuff.
I don't think there's going to be an issue with that group of people shifting onto Dreams, though. I think that Dreams gives them... The ones who really loved creating and made the best stuff, it just gives them a bigger sweet shop.
But what I mean by that is that there was a group of people who maybe didn't know that they were going to be good at that and gave it a try.
Okay.
I don't know that people are going to take the leap with Dreams to just play it and then give it a go. I don't know that that's what's going to happen. And part of the reason for that is that I think Sony made a massive error not continuing with the Little Big Planet series after Little Big Planet 3. I think that for this jump to Dreams to work properly, they needed to keep that kind of play, create, share thing going with a smaller gap.
Be linked to how long Dreams has taken. It's taken a lot longer than they thought it would and a lot longer than Sony thought it would, I think. So maybe they thought we didn't need another Little Big Planet because Dreams is going to be ready. And it wasn't.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. So I mean, that's my concern. I think they're going to have to really, really market the shit out of it to get people to take a punt on it.
Yeah.
I mean, I clearly I'm there, going to give it a go, but like, I'm not sure that, because they practically created that genre, but they created the market for that genre as well. And I think they're going to have to do that all over again now, which I think is a massive error on their part. So, fingers crossed for them.
Yeah. But. Okay. One of the bigger Microsoft releases is up next, and that's Gears 5. I kind of lost my way with the Gears games.
Me too. Me too.
The big
burly men. The last one was just a series of horde modes interlinked by stories.
Yeah.
It just didn't seem to. It lost me halfway through, and I didn't feel obliged to finish it. To be honest,
I think the initial reveal, I thought they were going somewhere different. It looked a bit more seriously darker rather than the OTT stuff of the previous games, and then it didn't seem to take that through to the final game. And the final game ended up a lot more normal Gears-like, and so it wasn't really the sort of reboot I thought it might be doing. So
yeah, it'll be interesting to see. It'll be interesting to see if they go with the Gears, the games as a service thing with this as well.
Yeah.
There was rumblings that they might.
Well, it's there's going to be something of that on it, because it's on Game Pass.
Ah, yes. Yeah, there is that, of course. Right, Days Gone.
Days Gone, that's early this year.
Mm-hmm.
Again, Days Gone, April, 26th of April is the latest date for that. It's been pushed back a couple of times for polish, etc. But it does look quite nice. And it's got nice tech to it and some nice freeformness to how you handle things that should be quite interesting.
That looks interesting. Aside from massive hordes of zombies, I'm not sure we know a huge amount yet about how it's going to be in terms of the wider game, but it's looked good from what we've seen.
And there's the whole biker thing as well.
But I'm really looking forward to the next one, which is Rage 2.
Okay. I never really played Rage 1.
Well, I never did as well, but I'm looking at that and thinking it's right up my alley. It's got a kind of Borderlands vibe, which I quite like.
Yeah.
And it's using the Just Cause engine, which is a decent engine.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it is. That's why they've got the... what's the name of that developer? It's out of my head.
Avalanche,
yeah. They're using Avalanche to develop it.
Okay.
And I think that they've put most of their effort into Rage 2. Because Just Cause 4 apparently is a bit of a stinker. just in terms of the way things are laid out and designed, and it's just incredibly repetitive. So, there is a little bit of me that's like, okay, so they're quite good at making trailers, clearly, because it looked good to be, until the reviews came out. So, I'll be waiting to see how it reviews.
Yeah.
But at the moment, it's one of the more kind of joyous and buoyant violent shooters out there, and I'm kind of looking forward to that bit of colour in our lives. Yeah. So, yeah. Ghost of Tsushima.
Yes, the last two on the list. I'm not quite sure. We don't really have release dates for them, but I'm just assuming they should be 2019 or at least early 2020. So that's Ghost of Tsushima, which is by Sucker Punch, who did Infamous. Just in case there was any confusion going to be happening. So I'm quite a bit
Infamous. Not Spider-Man, though.
No. That'll be somebody else. Or Sunset Overdrive. I'm a big Infamous fan, and so them being given free rein to do something different that they'd quite like to do, very much looking forward to seeing how that turns out. Yes. And I like the early sort of gameplay snippet that they showed at E3 this year.
Yeah, me too. I mean, one thing they do know is they know what makes a great colour palette, and that really struck me when I was watching the video, is that their art direction is always stunning.
Yeah.
And this just looks fabulous. Just from that point of view, I'm going to find it very interesting to play. So, yeah, fingers crossed that comes out, but I reckon that's going to be it. It's going to be late to 2019 if it does come out.
Yeah, but, yeah, given we know that Sony have got Dreams and Days Gone early in the year, they must have something mid-late as well, although they don't always do late. They tend to do early and mid.
Yeah.
Cool. And The Last of Us 2 as well, which you'd think was coming out this year, hopefully, given how much they've shown.
Yeah, they went big on it last year, so I would assume that's this year. I'm still wary of it, just because I think the violence in the first one, I loved the first one, I still think it's one of the best games ever made. The violence in it had a purpose. I'm not convinced that what we saw there was driven by anything but just being a psychopath, and that's fun.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. I mean, you know, it's Naughty Dog, so they're always good for a story. So I'm sure they'll have thought that through. Right. So next, we're going to talk about the things that we are actually most looking forward to.
Yeah.
Over the year, because those were just the big releases, the undeniably big releases. But there are smaller games out there which I think are probably worth touching on.
Yeah. So the first one I put down, but I think you're probably looking forward to it as well, is Control, which is the game by Remedy.
It looks very, very like Quantum Break to me, which is no bad thing.
Yeah, I did. At the time it was revealed, I just instantly thought this was a Remedy game because it just looks like their engine. And the clever stuff they did with their engine in Quantum Break was really quite impressive, the way worlds changed and warped around. So that was very clever, and it looks like they reused the engine nicely for this one, which is going multi-platform as well.
So, yeah, that's an interesting development, the fact that they're not exclusively Microsoft.
I wonder
if that's because they feel they were undersold with Quantum Break. I mean, I certainly do. I think that was one of the Microsoft's biggest marketing failures, because it didn't do very well, but it was a brilliant game. So, we'll see.
next one on the list for me is Dragon Quest Builders 2, where I've played a lot of Dragon Quest Builders, still haven't finished it, despite my kids keep telling me to play it, because they like to watch me play it. But I loved what they did with it in terms of building a Minecrafty type game, but with quests in it, and the Dragon Quest look and feel in terms of all the monsters, etc.
It was a perfect mashup, I thought. And a kind of Minecraft with a focus is no bad thing, I think.
I think what the other big things that they're changing in it, they've got help for, is the combat. And the combat in the first one was by far its weakest point. And so, big improvement in combat and multiplayer-ness, I believe.
Right.
Should make it a really interesting one to watch.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Especially if things like crossplay develop further over the year. That could be interesting to see if they manage to incorporate any of that, because that's coming out on everything, as far as I can see. Maybe not PC, I don't know. So next, I've not got a huge amount to say about it, because not a lot's been said about the intricacies of the game, but Switch game, it's a mech combat game called Daemon X Machina, which is by a developer who worked on the Armored Core series, and I believe he worked on Chrome Hounds as well, though it's much faster paced. I really like the look of it. It's extremely colourful, kind of anime, comic-influenced look and feel to it. There's an interesting mechanic in there, which I think comes directly from Chrome Hounds, where your mechs have a pilot who can run around the place, as well as, you know, you being able to pilot a mech. You control a character who controls a mech.
Yeah.
Which is an interesting little twist. And I believe it's going to be online as well. So I'm really looking forward to that, because it's been a while since I've actually played a proper mech game. So that's going to be good. And I only just came across this one over Christmas, actually. It's a game called The Outer Worlds, which is by, I was about to say their name and it's gone, Obsidian.
Yes.
But they must have been working on it before Xbox bought them, because I don't think it's restricted to Xbox.
No, so this is going to be their last multi-format release.
Yeah, and before you even see any action in the intro trailers, they start with, from the original makers of Fallout, from the makers of Fallout New Vegas, so you know it's their take on the Fallout-style game.
Yeah.
Set in a kind of far future outer space where corporations have bought up all the land and all this kind of stuff, and the idea is that you're going to be some kind of outsider who comes and takes back planets from the corporations and all this kind of stuff. But it's got a great sense of humor. It's got the kind of Obsidian storytelling thing going on, which is going to be great. It looks, you know, like a Fallout game, but good. I like my Fallout games, but they are shonky, let's say. So it looks quite slick. But I'm just looking forward. It came out of left field. I saw some footage again from the Game Informer channel. They played a decent session on it, and they used their own take on the VAT system, which I loved the VAT system. So the fact that they're bringing something like that in there as well is good. So yeah, it's looking like a really good adventure kind of RPG type game, sci-fi, and it's just come out of left field.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And the same publisher is going to be publishing Ancestors, which is
Ancestors.
Ancestors is by the guy who originally created Assassin's Creed. Now, as far as I remember, what happened was, I think it's Patrice Desolée or Desolate or whatever, however you pronounce his surname. But he fell out and got into legal battles with some of the Ubisoft head honchos. And they stopped him from working on games he was wanting to work on at the time, because he was in legal battles about ownership of certain IP. And then he announced 2 or 3 years ago that he was going to be making a game called Ancestors, which is basically the story of the evolution of man in game form. So some of the more recent trailers show footage of you playing as an early hominid, which looks more like a chimp. And I think the idea is that you play through the game and get to a certain point, and then, I don't know, evolution happens? I don't know, I just think it's a really interesting notion.
Yeah.
So I'm keeping my eye on it. And, you know, the guy's got form, you know, he came up with Assassin's Creed, which, you know, not a game I particularly enjoy, but, you know, I recognise that it's a good game. So, yeah, that's one to look out for. And finally, in 2019 picks is Doom Eternal, which I was a massive fan of the last Doom game. Absolutely loved it. Had it on PS4, Xbox, and then eventually Switch as well. I just absolutely adored it. And actually, I kind of enjoyed their... It got kicked in the teeth, but I quite like their multiplayer as well. I enjoyed it. So I'm really enjoying that. I'm looking forward to that. I have some suspicions about it. So the fact that it's called Doom Eternal, as well as the first footage we saw of it, there is a couple of things. There's something that an announcer said as your character spawns into the world, and then the way that you wander through this kind of set of offices, through some doors and into the open world, made me wonder if there's going to be a roguelike element to this, where there's infinite kind of shifting of layouts of levels.
Yeah.
And it's just that combined with the Doom Eternal title is making me wonder whether that's the case. So, I mean,
interesting.
We'll see. You know, it's I'm never right with these things, but it just something pinged in my head, and I thought, like, you know, I wonder if that's what's going to happen. So, I'm looking forward to seeing that. But they also have an interesting new game mode where you can invade other people's worlds as demons. I think up to two of you can do it. But it's not so in Dark Souls. It's the one thing I hate about the Dark Souls games is invasions.
Yeah.
And I, you know, fully accept it's part of the game, but I never enjoy it, and it always feels unfair to me. And it's, you know, people are completely overpowered, and it just never feels right. But with this, if from what I understand, if you invade someone's world, this is Doom Guy you're up against. So he's powerful, and you're not going to be overpowered. You're going to have to work as a team with the other demons and all this kind of stuff. And it's you're going to feel threatened. So I can kind of handle that. I think I could enjoy that mode. So we'll see. I'm not sure when this year that's coming out, but I thought I'd put it in there. So yeah, that's our picks for 2019. Potential greats. So Code Vein.
Code Vein.
Yeah.
Does look very nice.
It does look nice.
What platforms is that on? Is that, I know it's PS4. Is it Switch as well?
I don't think, I haven't seen any Switch mentions. Is it only PS4 or is it Xbox as well? I don't know, because, it's the same devs as God Eater, so it might only be PS4.
Yeah, no, it's Xbox One and Windows as well.
So that's interesting. I haven't seen any mention of any online functionality or anything with that, but I think that could be really good. Especially as I have a huge respect for that team, because I really like God Eater, and God Eater 3 is coming out this year as well. Yeah. And it looks to be using the same engine as Code Vein, and it looks really nice. A massive step forward from the previous game.
Yes.
that's looking good. Just recently announced Dragon's Dogma Switch, and this is another game I'm going to have on there, having completed it. I played the original, caned it. I got the Dark Arisen expansion, caned it. Then I got the remaster on PS4 a couple of years ago, caned it. And now I'm going to do it again on the Switch. It's ridiculous. But yeah, that's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to that. Another Switch game, Luigi's Mansion 3. I loved the first one. Didn't particularly gel with the one that was on the 3DS, Luigi's Mansion 2. But I think it could work really well on Switch. I got a soft spot for Luigi as well. And this was an interesting one. There's almost nothing known about this, but Persona 5R.
Is this a bit like the sort of rework of a standard Persona game they do and then release it again?
I saw this mentioned online. Somebody suggested Persona 4 was, the colour scheme was kind of, in terms of the interface and everything, was quite yellow.
Yeah.
It was yellow based. And then when the Vita version came out, it was called Persona 5 Gold.
Yeah.
Now, Persona 4 Gold, sorry. Persona 5 is kind of very red. And what they're suggesting is that possibly a Switch version.
Yeah.
Is Persona 5 Ruby.
Interesting.
So, again, it's, you know, it's massive pie in the sky stuff here. And to be honest, the only footage we've seen has had a PS4 logo on it. So, who knows? But, I mean, if it is a kind of Persona 4G type of thing, I'm not sure why they would bring that back out on the PS4 again.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's a weird one. But yeah, a lot of people got excited about that. Persona 5, I haven't finished it, but I've got about 50 hours, 60 hours on it, and it's fabulous. It's a really good little game.
It's one of those games that I didn't get into quick enough, and therefore get distracted by other things, but it's one that I always want to go back to.
Well, so it did something.
It takes a long time to get going, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, that's why I'm really hoping it's Switchbound.
Yeah.
Because it's like I was saying about Warframe. It's those kind of games. That's been a surprise for the Switch with me. It's not been the short, typically handheld games. It's the ones where you would be hogging the TV. Those are the ones that get the real benefit from it. And so something like Persona 5 could be amazing on it. The thing that's really surprised me, and it kind of surprised me with Persona 4 as well, is so when I was many moons ago, decades ago, when I was like 10, I spent a year in Japan. And these things make me kind of Japan sick. They make me want to go back. They absolutely nail the atmosphere and the feel of living in that place. And so it's kind of, I find them quite comforting to play, which is a weird thing to say, but I really enjoy that kind of, it feels like I'm in a weird way home, even though I was only there for a year.
Yeah.
So yeah, they really nail that feeling. And yeah, so that's our potentially great. I suppose we should have put that in the next section, to be honest, because we don't know when that's coming or if. Which is, the next section is the crystal ball.
Yes, stuff that's, well, possibly been announced before or we're expecting to be announced.
Yeah, well, things that have been kind of vaguely announced, which would have been perfect for Persona 5R, to be honest. there was the major one that I'm wondering is Metroid Prime. Metroid Prime 4 has been... We've basically only ever seen a logo for it, and that was, I can't remember when that was. It wasn't in 2018 that was revealed, was it? It was 2017, I think.
I think so, yeah. It was quite a while ago.
Yeah, so I think we're going to see something of that soon. There's lots of rumblings that there's going to be a Nintendo Direct in the next few weeks where they should outline all the things that they're going to be doing for the latter half of the year, because they've not got much lined up.
Yeah.
They've got, you know, a few things early on, but they've not really talked about it. They've started to really nail this kind of late announcement policy that, you know, really works for them. So we'll see. I think if we do see more, then it won't be long before we actually get to play it. But the thing that I was wondering is, are we going to see Metroid Prime remasters before that comes out? Which I think would be, you know, you'd think they have to be working on those. It's got to be money in the bank, surely.
What did the original Metroid Prime come out on?
Cube, wasn't it?
What was it?
It was the GameCube.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was, because I think I got it and then just couldn't get over the control scheme, which just felt all manners of wrong.
I managed to grok it. I was okay with it. I was one of the few people. Everybody goes on about how amazing the GameCube pad is now.
Yeah.
Or was. I was the only person arguing that case back in the day. Everybody else said it sucked. So I don't know where all these people are suddenly springing out of. The thing is, they've been... because of the release of Super Smash Brothers, they've been really going quite heavily on the whole re-release of the GameCube controllers and all this kind of stuff. So I think that this is another one that's going to link into their GameCube controller re-release, rebrand, whatever you want to call it. We'll see. But I think that's going to be an interesting one to watch out for. I'd definitely go for Metroid Prime remasters because I really enjoyed those. And the other one is, have you ever heard of Wild?
Yes, that was ex-Ubisoft, or is it actually Ubisoft?
Well, it's a weird one, because he's a massive bigwig in Ubisoft.
Yeah.
But I don't think Wild is part of the Ubisoft family. I don't think it's going to be... I think it was always spoken about as an indie project by him, while he's still working for Ubisoft on other projects, which is a bit odd, and I guess that's why it's taking ages. But it's been in the wind for about 3 years now.
Yeah, it's also been quite quiet for a while, hasn't it?
Well, he did say a few months ago that he was still working on it.
Okay.
So, and that was really interesting when it when it was first announced, so I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah.
And I've just basically got at the end of this list. I've touched on it, but the Switch has a habit of late announcements now, and you know, particularly with indies, it's kind of and it's out now when they do their Nintendo Directs. So I'm just wondering if we're going to see Pikmin in some shape or form.
I would think at least maybe some remasters, potentially.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's my crystal ball. Now, was it you or me that put down PSVR? Because I haven't got a clue.
I think it was you. Or maybe I just put down as just a general, anything in particular we're looking forward to on PSVR this year.
Yeah. Are you?
I'm not sure what's coming, actually. There's lots of little, small titles. But
yeah, there is. I think that, as usual, there's going to be lots of interesting things. And they do seem to be going through a kind of second generation of VR game, which are more deep and more like a game rather than a tech demo. So that's kind of interesting. It's been a while since I've put VR on. The last time was Wipeout with you and Calf. Promise myself was I'd get my VR legs back because they've been a bit shaky.
Yeah, one thing I am looking forward to is PSVR support in Dreams and being able to sculpt stuff in Dreams in VR. That I think will be quite impressive.
Yes. Yeah, I think that will be. So you see, I'd like to see them push that a bit more. I do still think they've got plans to move things forward with VR for the PS5, but we'll see. Yeah. Which is, I guess, the thing that you did add?
Yes. we've kind of discussed it in previous ones anyway, but PS5 and X2 and what we're actually going to see or hear of them this year. I don't think they're going to be released this year, but we're definitely going to start hearing more, at least in terms of rumours, by middle of the year. And then potentially with some announcements around E3 time when Sony plans to announce, because they clearly don't want to announce at E3.
No, they do not. I'm still fairly convinced we're going to see some kind of Wii U-style dumb terminal on the PS5, which will double as kind of fit that role, the Switch role that I keep on talking about, where you're not hogging the TV, but also potentially slot into a VR headset. I think that's something that's... if I've thought about it, you know, I'm not a genius. They must have thought about that.
It does, because it kind of contains a lot of the extra tech that you'd want anyway, just in a...
Yes.
In terms of accelerometers, etc. Interesting.
Yeah, exactly. Especially if you're going, you know, you're going to PS5, you're going to a frame rate and resolution that would make VR very comfortable.
Yep.
So yeah, I think it kind of...
PSVR is going to feature heavily with PS5 and a new updated PSVR. Yeah.
The other thing that would happen if you have that dumb terminal that slots in, you also have got wireless VR, which is that's the big sticking point with me. I love my PSVR, but see if I have to faff around getting the cables in because they fucked up and didn't do HDR pass-through on that first box. I have to, if I want a decent picture, if I want to use my TV the way it's supposed to be used, I have to unplug VR, and then I have to faff around and figure out which HDMI cable to slot back into what slot. That's what keeps me from having it constantly connected and playing it more. So yeah, I think that whole idea gets around all of these things. And there's a few things that popped up over the last 2 months, I'd say, that certainly point towards at least a dumb terminal. So we'll see. There was a talk of a kind of elongated DualShock with a screen in the middle.
Yeah.
As a patent. So that's going to be very interesting. Right. And I do believe that's that. Nothing more to discuss.
Yeah, that's us done.
Right. Well, that's us, folks. Thanks for listening to the first episode of 2019. We will be back, hopefully at the beginning of February, if we can get our arses together. Not literally. And thanks for listening to our nonsense.
Cheers.
Goodbye.
This podcast was produced by Dan Densley and edited by Christy McPherson. It was presented by both of those idiots. Our signature tune, La Calahora, is performed by Roll Music and was made available to us via a Creative Commons Attribution License through freemusicarchive.org.